KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Todd Nettleton joins us, Vice President of Message and host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio, VOM Radio. You'll find details at persecution.com is the website to go to for the ministry. And I would encourage you, we're going to say this several times, hopefully through our conversation, take some time to download the Voice of the Martyrs app. Some great resources there for you, including daily prayer points of how to be praying for the persecuted church around the globe. There's free ebooks, feature films, and access to Voice of the Martyrs Radio. And with that, I want to welcome Todd into the broadcast. Todd, thanks for taking the time again.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
How's Voice of the Martyrs Radio?
We have had some pretty powerful stuff the last couple weekends. Just the current episode in the podcast stream, wherever you are, is the wife of an imprisoned pastor in China. Her husband was arrested last October. And so she is talking about him being in prison, her being safely out of China, but worrying every day. He's lost in what we're at, like 10 months now, he's lost 35 pounds during that time in prison. So his situation is rough. Physically, she said spiritually, he's very strong. So that was encouraging. But just a reminder of the great freedom that we enjoy here in the United States, and a reminder to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters.
Yeah. And, you know, and since you brought it up, let's dive a little deeper into what's going on in China, specifically Pastor Ezra. Is it Jin? Is that how you say? Yeah,
it's J-I-N, and I say Jin, and they say kind of Jin.
Okay. Of Zion Church. But all kinds of things, you know, 8 leaders of the church in prison, and children and more. Can you dive a little deeper? So as our listeners, hopefully, whether while we're talking or after this conversation, or sometime soon, can spend some time on their knees, or even as they drive around, you know, keep your eyes open if you're driving, but be praying for these brothers and sisters.
Yeah, so let's talk about Zion Church. Zion Church is a very large, unregistered church in China, and you know, and we talked about this in the conversation. Like, when I say church, what I kind of picture, I think what a lot of Americans picture, is that's one building or one congregation. Zion Church, during COVID, actually moved their services online, and their church exploded because people now all over China were getting on a Zoom, they were watching on YouTube, and so every weekend, they were reaching somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people all over China. So obviously, that's going to get the attention of the Chinese government. It did. Last October, the church was raided. Initially, I think they arrested something like 30 leaders and staff members at the church, or at least detained them. When all was said and done, 9 of them were left, including, as we mentioned, Pastor Ezra Jin, the senior pastor. So that was last October. They were all locked up in prison. In May, when President Trump was in Beijing meeting with Xi Jinping, he specifically mentioned Pastor Ezra Jin and asked for his release. So that was in May. On July 4th weekend, Independence Day here in America, 250th anniversary celebration, Ezra Jin was released from prison and put on a plane for America. So not only out of prison, but also allowed to leave China, allowed to come to America. Great celebration, great praise the Lord, great answer to prayer. However, the other 8 Zion Church leaders are still in prison. And we just had Sarah Su. She is the wife of Pastor Wong Lin, who is one of those who is still in prison. She was our guest this past weekend on Voice of the Martyrs Radio. And so her concern, and the other families, and they absolutely are so thankful that Ezra Jin is out of jail. But their concern is kind of now the attention is gone because he's out of jail, he's free. What about those other 8? Is anybody still going to remember that they're still in prison and pay attention to their case? And so, you know, as you mentioned, among those 8, there are 12 children, 11 and under, including a 2-month-old that was born after her father was in prison. So they've never met yet. And so a lot of children, a lot of families who are suffering as these are still in prison. And it doesn't seem like they're going to get out. It seems like, in fact, she said, normally a church prosecution takes a long time, but it seemed as they released Ezra Jin, they kind of sped up the population of the others. So that was something that was, there was a concern there. But so it's a difficult circumstance for them. And as you said, boy, I hope as people are driving around, as they are thinking about our brothers and sisters in China, I hope they will pray for those eight Zion church leaders. And the current estimate is about 200 church leaders that are in prison in China. So it is not just these eight. It's a lot more of our brothers and sisters who are suffering.
Yeah, you know, and Todd, whether it's China or some of the others we're going to be covering today, Iran, India, Pakistan, Myanmar, you know, all these different areas that we're talking about today. Man, this is something I imagine you perform daily. I'm sitting here, you know, thinking how to play the spirit and getting attention to the believers here in the West, to not, you know, China's, all these countries are so far from us, and to take it from a place in our minds where it's kind of a movie and kind of, you know, unreal, to bring it to a place. I'm sitting here thinking, church, imagine who we're talking about are in Texas, you know, and these things are happening. Bring it a little closer to home. To God, the world is a very small place, and he is very big and able to do great things. Now, we want his will to be done in all of this, and we should be praying for that. But Todd, I don't know if there's anything you are typically articulating to help bring it home.
You know, here's, I think the best way that I can do that. And the thing I remind people of is, I have two brothers. One's name is Trent. One's name is Timothy. And if Trent or Timothy were in prison, getting beaten on every day, if they'd lost 30 pounds in the last 8 months because they weren't getting enough to eat, you wouldn't have to remind me to care. You wouldn't have to remind me to tell people, hey, my brother is in prison and they're not treating him well. He's suffering. It would be very natural for me to do that because they're my brothers. Here's the reality. These eight church leaders in China, they're our brothers. They're our sisters. Once we understand that family relationship, we don't have to be guilted into caring about them. We don't have to be sort of goosed into thinking, oh yeah, I'm supposed to remember those guys in China. No, they're our brothers, they're our sisters, they're our family, and they're suffering. And it becomes very, very natural for us to pray for them and bang a drum to get them out of prison and tell other people, hey, my brothers and sisters are suffering. Once we get that family relationship, that becomes the most natural thing in the world.
Yeah, well, and a reminder, I think, to the listener as well, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, we live in a free nation where we're able to, pray publicly, go to church publicly, and go to persecution.com and the Voice of the Martyrs app to get the information about these brothers and sisters. And act in several ways. And there, you can obviously provide words of encouragement to Voice of the Martyrs and the work they're doing. You can pray for persecuted believers all over the globe, and you can prayerfully consider, with your wallet, right, to support the efforts of Voice of the Martyrs and the work they're doing to keep these brothers and sisters front page, where, you know, they're not forgotten. And, you know, while we have that freedom to be able to do that, we're not promised America. So while we have, you know, and I'm not doomsdaying what's going to happen in the United States, but we take our freedom for granted. Let's take the opportunity while we can to be supportive of these brothers and sisters. Believe it or not, Todd, we're already up against a break. Let's take a break. We've got a lot more to talk about. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
A continuing conversation with Todd Nettleton, Vice President of Message and host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Again, I want to draw you to persecution.com. Great resources on the website. Download the Voice of the Martyrs app. We've mentioned it already. A lot of great resources there as well, including daily prayer points and requests from the church all over the globe. Free ebooks and feature films, access to Voice of the Martyrs Radio. And Todd, a story that kind of got my attention and encouraged me to reach out and have you back on. In Iran, a church taken by the Iranian government, and that making some recent headlines. Can you tell us more, please?
Yeah, this is really interesting. St. Peter Evangelical Church has been holding services in Tehran, Iran, for 154 years. And that is remarkable. In fact, when I first heard about this story, that the Iranian government has now confiscated the church property, they've confiscated the sanctuary, they've confiscated the living quarters that were on the property. When I first heard the story, I was like, wait a minute. I thought all the building churches in Iran had already been closed, but this church has still been open and has been holding services in Farsi, which is actually illegal. But because this church is made up of ethnic Armenians and ethnic Assyrians, their common language is Farsi. And so the church has been allowed to continue holding services in Farsi for these Armenians and Assyrian Christians that come together for worship, like I say, for 154 years until last month when the Iranian government said, nope, that we want that building. They actually said that building belongs to foreigners because the church was originally planted by American missionaries. So the government said, you know, that building belonged to Americans. Americans aren't allowed to own property, so that's our building now. The members of the church are like, wait a minute, decades ago, the Americans left, they transferred ownership to Iranians. We're Iranians, we own the building. It's not owned by foreigners, but the government is not allowing that argument to stand, and they are confiscating this property. As I say, one of the very last open above-ground churches in the nation of Iran will now be closed down by this government action, and yet we know there's a church in Iran. It may not have a building with a cross on the top. There is a church because we are the church, the followers of Christ. We make up the church. And there are tens of thousands, some say as many as 2 million Christians in the nation of Iran.
Yeah. And Todd, you know, for those of us who have any kind of pulse for what's going on in the Middle East, I think that may surprise some people. That the body of Christ, the church, is so prevalent in Iran. But, you know, I've been hearing stories for a decade or more about, you know, men dreaming dreams of Jesus and so many things happening that the church here is not really, I think, aware of in general. I think there's some Christians who, you know, Todd, quite honestly, who regularly go to persecution.com or have the Voice of the Martyrs app that they can get this information and be updated. But can you speak of, you have somewhat, but I don't know, kind of confirm some of what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, and it's one of the only God stories. As you look back to 1979 and the Islamic Revolution, there were a lot of people who thought, well, this is the end of the church in Iran. Like the mullahs are in charge of the government. They're saying they're going to do everything the Islamic way. They're absolutely going to wipe out the church. There were a number of pastors who were killed, and it was like, okay, this is the end. There's no way that the church can survive in an Islamic Republic of Iran. And then you fast forward 40 years, and it's the fastest growing church in the world. And it's like, well, wait a minute, how does that happen? One of the amazing things, and again, this only God quality to this, is one of the things that God used to grow the church in the Islamic Republic of Iran was the Islamic government. Because the government made all these promises, we are going to run our country according to Islamic principles. We're going to run it how the Quran tells us to run it. And then in 40 years, you have an economy that's in complete ruins. You have one of the highest drug addiction rates in the world. You have a population that is oppressed and crushed. And they are saying, if this is what Islam looks like, what are the other options? Because this one's not working for me. And so you have a hungry population that is looking for truth. And then you have, you know, internet ministries, you have satellite television ministries, you have Christians in the country who are sharing the gospel. And it is such a fertile field, such fertile soil, because of what the Islamic government has been doing for the last 40 years. So God used the Islamic revolution, the Islamic government, to plant the seeds of revival in the nation of Iran. And, you know, I think that's something for us to celebrate and praise the Lord for. It's also something as we look around, as we look at Afghanistan, where the Taliban is back in control, maybe God is doing the same thing in Afghanistan. And even as we look at our own country, where we sometimes think, well, oh, if the other party, if the party I don't like takes control, it'll be the end of the church. No. The church is not dependent on the government or on any party. Let's just look at our brothers and sisters in Iran, who we thought, you know, 1979 was the end of the church, and it was the seeds of revival for that nation.
Yeah, and let's remind those who, you know, aren't maybe as familiar with that history you talk about. I mean, I remember 1979. I remember when you know, this new the regime who's currently in control took control, and I know from you and from other ministries, you know, churches were being planted in Iran at that time and continue to be planted there and grow there, and that. It's the regime there that is causing so much of this persecution, and the church is alive in Iran.
Amen.
It's a beautiful country, and pray that we'll see great change in Iran, and hopefully things return much to you know, how it was pre-1979. India is another area of the globe, but before we go to break, I wanted to cover, there's some information there, which, by the way, Todd, remind the listeners, on persecution.com. I mean, it's not hard to find this information, but we want to take time to bring it to their attention by visiting with you, before we go into the, India information, that whether it's India, Pakistan, Myanmar, any of this available.
Yeah, persecution.com. One of the features on our website is what we call the global prayer map, and you can literally click around the world to the countries where Christians are persecuted. You can learn more about what it looks like to be a follower of Christ there. How hard is it to get a Bible? Are there above ground churches? Are there only underground churches? Basically, to help you pray more effectively. I always try to remind people, the first thing persecuted Christians ask us to do is to pray for them. And they're not asking us to pray that they won't be persecuted. They're asking us to pray that they'll be faithful in the midst of persecution. And so the online global prayer map is a great way to help you to educate yourself so that you can pray effectively for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Again, persecution.com, easy one to remember.
All right, so an update from India, Todd.
Well, the Indian government has been cracking down on Christians. The Hindu nationalists took over. Prime Minister Modi's now been in power for more than 10 years. They have a law called the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act, and basically it says, if you are getting money donated from overseas, we need to monitor that. We need to see what that money's doing. They have now issued some new guidelines, and they're actually pushing to make this law that prohibits foreign money from being used for what they call proselytism activities, what you and I might call evangelism. But the law and the guidelines don't say what that is. So if I am working at a Christian orphanage that is getting money from America to serve the orphans, and I'm providing them with food and clothing and shelter and education, I would say that's serving them in the name of Jesus. But the Indian government would say, oh, no, you're trying to make all those kids Christians. That's proselytism. You can't do that. And this regulation and the law that they're pushing for would say, oh, you violated this law. So now the Indian government owns that orphanage. It's not yours anymore. Now it's ours. So some really severe restrictions and persecution that is happening as it relates to this law and how they are regulating it. Another thing they changed in 2020, all the money coming in from overseas needs to come through one bank that the government can monitor. They can see where that money's coming from. They can see who comes to make a withdrawal. And so they are using the finances really to persecute and control Christian organizations that are getting outside funding.
All right. Well, if you just joined us, we're visiting with Todd Nettleton. He's the Vice President of Message and host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Look for details at persecution.com. Download the Voice of the Martyrs app. All kinds of great resources available. Todd, we're already up against another break, but actually we have more to talk about. Can you stay with us?
I think I can do one more segment.
Okay. We'll get you updated real quick after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We're visiting with Todd Nettleton, Vice President of Message and host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio. I actually kept Todd on a little longer than we expected today. So, Todd, I do want to say thank you so much for your time and updating our listeners. I want to jump right back into updates from countries around the globe where the body of Christ is in need of our support. Our brothers and sisters in Pakistan would be the next update we're looking for. What's going on?
Yeah, let's have some good news. So we've had some hard news about what's going on in India and Iran. Let's have some good news. A young lady, 16-year-old Rena, was kidnapped in January. Okay, that's bad news. But she was rescued on July the 8th, returned to her parents. And here's what happened. She was abducted off the streets on her way home from school. She was grabbed up by a Muslim man who then communicated to her parents, oh, you know, Rena has converted to Islam and she has decided to marry me. So she's now my wife. We're married. And really, there's nothing you can do about it. Rena's parents said, well, we're not going to settle for that. They actually went to court. And, you know, here's the miracle part of this story. The court said, you're right. She's not, you know, married to that guy. That was wrong for him to do that. And so the court said she should be returned to her parents. And then the police went and actually got her. And she said, I want to go home with my parents. The police took her out of that horrible situation, brought her back home. This is not always how it goes. So, you know, we know stories in Pakistan where someone's been abducted. They are, you know, their parents are told, yeah, she converted to Islam and she married this guy. And the courts have said, well, you know, she's married to that guy. So it's really up to him now. It's not up to you anymore. The fact that the courts upheld Rena's rights and allowed her to go home, the fact that the police then enforced that court decision, actually got her out of that situation and brought her home. This is a miracle. This is a complete answer to prayer. Like I say, it doesn't always happen this way. We want to celebrate God's faithfulness to Rena and are so thankful that she's back with her parents. I also want to encourage people to pray for her. This has obviously been a traumatic experience for her, and there's some recovery that needs to be done. There's some trauma that she's experienced. So let's keep praying for Rena as we thank the Lord that she was rescued. Let's pray for her complete healing.
Yeah, and I love, too, Todd, that you shared. You know, this happens all the time. This is not a unique situation, and there's others in the same condition that she was in prior to being rescued and the police intervening. I mean, just that the Pakistani police intervened. When you say miracle, I mean, that's not flippant. That it was an absolute miracle. And praise report for those who have been praying for our brothers and this sister in Pakistan. It's just, it's really a great opportunity to encourage us to continue to pray. So let's move on to our final story in Myanmar of two Christian women traveling 5 hours each way to attend church.
Yes. Some of us maybe complain about driving to church. If it's more than 20 minutes or so, we're like, oh man, it's so long. And you know, if it's raining, we might not want to go. These two ladies in Myanmar go 5 hours every single Sunday to attend their church. The first part, they have to sneak out of their village because there's a militia in charge of their village that doesn't want anyone to leave. Then they go on an ox cart for a while. Then they go on a boat And then they take a tuk-tuk, a little motor taxi that takes them finally to the church. That's a 5-hour journey to get there. Then they worship, they gather together, they fellowship with other brothers and sisters, and then it's 5 hours back home to their home village. But as I mentioned, the militia has said nobody's allowed to leave. Recently, they got caught coming back into the village, and the militia was like, well, what? Where have you been? What are you doing? You know people aren't allowed to leave. They gave them a choice. They could take 5 lashes with a bamboo rod, or they could pay a fine. These two ladies said, we'll pay the fine. We would rather not be lashed with a bamboo rod. Thankfully, one of our VOM contacts was able to communicate with them and say, hey, we're going to take care of that fine for you. We don't want that to come out of your budget. We want to stand with you in this trial. But again, I was just so encouraged that how committed are these ladies to gather with other believers, to study the scripture, to worship the Lord, to fellowship together. They're so committed that it's a 5-hour trip every single week, and they joyfully make it. They don't complain about it. They joyfully go 5 hours to church every week.
Well, I so much appreciate all the updates, Todd. I want to encourage our listeners once again, you know, whether it's the story we talked about in Iran and China, India, Pakistan, Myanmar, all over the globe. There's so many other places, including Central America and South America, places where we should be praying for our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted. Go to persecution.com. and find out more, find the resources available there. I love the map that you mentioned, Todd. What a great, easy resource to find the information we need. Also, a reminder of the Voice of the Martyr app, where you'll get daily prayer points and requests from brothers and sisters around the globe, free ebooks, feature films, and access to Voice of the Martyr radio, where Todd Nettleton, our guest today, is host of Voice of the Martyr radio regularly. Todd, a little bit of an extended stay on ABQ Connect today, but thank you so much for your time. And we need to remember to be praying for you and your team as well. So I'll put that little note to our listeners as well. Look forward to catching up again real soon, Todd.
All right. I look forward to that as well. And thanks for having me.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.